We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday. It's April 26th. It is 2024. We have a massive 13-game MLB slate here on today's podcast. A lot to talk about. Very interesting slate overall. A lot of different ways to kind of approach this slate. So can't wait to break this one down. As always on Friday, joined today by Mr. Will Priester. What's up, Chief?
Nothing much, man. Glad to come on and talk through this slate with you. Obviously, the NFL draft is happening and so many things, happening in the draft. I think probably the biggest thing was Michael Penix being drafted by the Falcons. And, you know, I have my thoughts about that. I think, you know, I actually like Michael Penix. I think he's a good quarterback. And I think him being drafted early, do I agree that it was probably a reach and they didn't have to? Yes. But I also think if you're planning to draft a young guy that you believe in and he's going to get a chance to sit behind Kirk Cousins for 4 seasons and learn from him and grow, then I'm all for it because at the end of this big contract, Stevie, they'll probably be handing him the keys. And I think that's what they're trying to do here. I think they felt like Penix, even though he was older, an older quarterback, experienced, could learn quickly. And not only that, Stevie, I don't think they wanted Desmond Ridder as a backup. Like, that's the other thing people got to think about with Atlanta. Like, they could have gone out and gotten a backup and probably paid a little bit more money. But I think getting Penix to sit behind Kurt was an interesting move. But once again, do I think they overreached a little bit? Absolutely. But do I understand what I think they're trying to do? I also understand that. But the draft is going pretty close to what we thought. If you checked out the Food for Thought podcast, it's pretty much headed about how we thought outside of Penix. So pretty cool.
All right. A lot of baseball. What's up, chat? What's up, YouTube? Derek, Gerg, Dave, Richie. I'm sure I'm missing Zach, Gus, Narnik. A lot of people hanging out over there in chat right now. I probably missed a couple people. I'm sorry. Let's get into it. Lot to talk about. We're just gonna jump right into baseball. You can hang out with us live too. Go to YouTube, go to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page, hit subscribe, turn on notifications. We appreciate that. We do a free podcast 5 days a week, and not that I'm biased or anything, because I'm very biased. We've been absolutely crushing this season. Like, if you listened to the podcast yesterday, probably had a really good day. We were on Minnesota. We were on San Diego, obviously, and, you know, we talked about all the pitchers that did well, so hopefully you listened to the podcast yesterday. We got Oakland at Baltimore, 7.5 total in this one. Baltimore, a 260 favorite. Ross Stripling against Corbin Burns. Right off the top, Will, right off the top here, any interest here in Ross Stripling?
No.
Yeah, I knew the quick no was coming, for sure, and it should. Listen, we're not playing Ross Stripling in this matchup against Baltimore. Ross Stripling's a low, below average strikeout pitcher. He gives up a lot of hard contact to both sides. This is an easy spot to stay away from him. And then on the other side of this game, Corbin Burns is the best pitcher on the slate. He gets Oakland. Ooh. Like, I hate to do it. It's first game of the slate, but I hate to say it. Like, Corbin Burns is way above everybody else for me today. And, like, he's under 10K. Which makes him even more likable in this spot.
Yeah, Aaron Nola, 10-3 against San Diego, one of the lowest strikeout teams in baseball. We're going to get there, Stevie, I know. But I'm talking about this to cement your point. I will say this. I do think Imanaga is going to be in the mix, but I'm not playing him over Corbin Burns. Like, this is, I mean, wow. He should be able to feast on the Oakland Athletics, Stevie. It won't even be close here, or it shouldn't be close here. I mean, he should be able to mow his team down. Hopefully, if he can keep his control going, Stevie, keep the ball on the ground. I mean, this has the makings of him putting together a masterful performance on the mound for Baltimore at home. So, really, that Burns today, I'm with you for 9,600.
Yeah, he's had a couple rough starts here recently, but I don't care. I mean, he's a 25-30% K rate guy. Oakland's the highest strikeout team in baseball. They're one of the worst teams in baseball against right-handed pitching this season. Like, honestly, Will, for me, it's just like, this is a don't overthink it spot. Just, I know it's a 13-game slate, which hopefully keeps his ownership down a little bit, but don't overthink Corbin Burns today, in my opinion. Do you have any interest in the Oakland bats?
No.
Yeah, I mean, if you're targeting Burns, it's typically lefties, but even like this year, he's generating a ton of ground balls against lefties. So I'm out. No interest here for me on Oakland. Any interest here in the Baltimore bats?
Plenty. Sign me up. Love Adley Rutschman today as a spin-up catcher. Definitely think this is a guy that can get going. Steve, you're probably going to like Ryan O'Hearn. I mean, he has been good this season. Don't mind him. Cedric Mullins at 4,400 is the guy that I really like. Been batting down around six this season, Stevie, not leading off. I mean, you know, his ownership has kind of stayed under the radar. Gunnar Henderson, most expensive bat on this team. But if you haven't been paying attention, Stevie, he's been on fire. I mean, just absolutely scoring, hitting, doing it all. Stevie, three double-digit fantasy point performances in a row, four out of the last five, seven, I think, out of the last 10. I think somewhere around, I don't know, let's give it 15 or 16 out of the last 20. And you know, I'm just kind of talking, but Steve, he's been just crushing here from a fantasy perspective. So really like him against Ross Stripling. Westberg has been another guy, Steve, even though it's righty-righty, that has put together some nice performances along the way. So I'm not sparing either side of the plate. All these guys are in play. Even Mr. Jackson Holiday, if he plays, who's been struggling a bit here, get him in your lineups. I don't trust Ross Stripling as far as I can throw.
Stripling's not like a dominant, like, splitsy pitcher. So you could play righties against him too. Issues with that. Westberg is off to a really strong start. I wrote these up the other day for part of like premium that I was doing, so I have it in front of me. It might have changed. Ryan O'Hearn is first in ex-WOBA in all of baseball. He's first in ex-slugging percentage in all of baseball. So ex-stats are expected stats. They're a lot. They're one of my favorite things to use, expected outcomes, kind of taking some stuff off the board. But, you know, StatCast, they've upped the game. Like, the stuff that you can look at with StatCast data has just upped the game. So looking at O'Hearn's stuff, I mean, he's third in X batting average. Like, this is a guy that's just hitting the ball hard. He's averaging, Will, a barrel every 14 plate appearances. That's just phenomenal. It's the third best in baseball. You know who he's behind? Ohtani. The other guy he's behind is Stevenson. I don't count that. He doesn't have, like, he's not as qualified. So, like, the top three to me with barrels per plate appearance, Ohtani, Ryan O'Hearn, Bobby Witt Jr. Like, O'Hearn is in that tier. So, I'm going to keep playing him. You nailed it when you said I was going to like him. Yes, I do. I like him. I think that just healthy and hitting the ball hard. Like, he's come to Baltimore. He's found a new home.
Yeah.
It stinks. I mean, could you imagine if Kansas City would have kept O'Hearn and they, like, add him into that lineup they got going on over there in Kansas City? Like, but, hey, good for Ryan O'Hearn. Like Baltimore, they're an awesome stack. Hate the ballpark. Let's just throw that out there. Hate the ballpark. All right, we got the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. Yeah, Dodgers and Blue Jays, 9 total. This game's in Toronto. The Dodgers are a 130 favorite. We got Gavin Stone against Chris Bassett. Any interest here in Gavin Stone?
Nope, not playing Gavin Stone. I will give a little bit more than just a hard no, but I just think Toronto is too low of a strikeout team for me to be investing in Stone shares today. That's really what it boils down to. And so while Stone does have some strikeout ability, Stevie, I view his performance probably closer to what we saw from the Mets than what we've seen from some of these earlier performances this season. Toronto, while they may not score runs, Stevie, they're a tough lineup strikeout.
Yeah, I agree with you. Gavin Stone's a huge, like, he's a top-end prospect. He's expected to do well. I will say, like, when you're digging into some of his advanced stats, like his whiff rate, his swinging strike rate, like, all that stuff is phenomenal. It just really hasn't, like, translated into strikeouts yet, right? Like, he's sitting at a 14.6% swinging strike rate, and his whiff rate this season is 30.6. Like, if we're looking at a 30.6 whiff rate with a swinging strike rate over 14%, he should be, in all honesty, he should be somebody that's striking out guys at like a 25 to 28% clip here. So I think the strikeouts are going to come with Gavin Stone. I just don't necessarily love him in this matchup. Like you said, Toronto, kind of a gutless offense, but they just don't strike out very much. So that's the biggest concern when taking Gavin Stone. I will say at his price point, I don't think he's the worst option. I just think we want to target him in better spots throughout the year. Any interest in Bassett on the other side here?
Stevie, believe it or not, I wish I could have some interest in Bassett. I don't mind taking Bassett in matchups where I think there are going to be some strikeouts. There are some strikeouts in this lineup. If people haven't been paying attention, Stevie, you see Betts, you see Ohtani, you see Freeman, you see Smith. And then you see Muncy on down. The strikeouts are just way up for the last, you know, 5 bats. The problem is those first 3 bats, 4 bats, Stevie, could be all you need to get punished and run you out of town. So I don't think I'm going to get to Bassett today, despite the high K rates at the bottom of this order. Even though the K rates are there, this is still a punishing team if they get rolling. I think I'm fading Bassett at 8,100, and I'll be fine. I think there's plenty of pitching. Another guy in the 8K range that I love. I don't need to play Bassett today.
Yeah, so I don't like looking at just like 1 year sample size when, especially we're like a month into the season. But Bassett can't get lefties out this year. Like, he has an 18% barrel rate. That means he's giving up a barrel, 1 out of 5.5 batted ball. Like, just that's way too high against lefties. When you're looking at Ohtani, Freeman, Muncy, Altman's hitting the ball well, like too many lefties in this lineup for me. And Bassett's just not missing. He's not, he doesn't have that out pitch against left-handed hitters right now. So without that out pitch against lefties, I think Bassett's an easy fade for me. He throws a ton of pitches, just none of them are working against lefties. Like he's trying, like right, really, like he's trying everything he can to make it work, but it's just not working. And like what's funny is like he's thrown a sinker, a cutter, a curveball, a sweeper, a slider, and a split finger to lefties this year, just in general, and it's just none of it's working. None of it's working. So yeah, I mean. You could have eight pitches, and if none of them get a lefty out, you're still in trouble. So
yeah.
I don't want Bassett, and I have a ton of interest in the Dodgers, not just the lefties here, you know, because obviously Mookie Betts, Will Smith should be back in the lineup. I mean, I load up on the Dodgers bats. You're on the road, so you're guaranteed the ninth. I think this is a great spot for L.A.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you 100%. And we're getting Altman, Steve. You talk about Altman, you know, been hitting the ball okay and hitting it hard. I mean, we're getting him at 3,600. I'm almost positive he'll be in the lineup today. Betts is expensive. You know, Freeman, 5,600. That's almost reasonable out of their top tier of batters, Stevie, where we're getting Ohtani at 64 and Betts at 66. So, I like all these top tier bats, but I definitely don't mind Smith, Freeman, Muncy. You know, even if you can't get all of them, I think that's a nice little mini stack there. But I definitely think this is a team you want to full stack today. So I like this team a ton.
Going to the Toronto bats, even dating back to last year, Gavin Stone was solid against righties, generated ground balls, didn't give up a lot of fly balls. This is a lineup that like hits the ball on the ground a lot. You know, one of the reasons that I hate stacking Toronto is because, you know, they'll get one or two guys on and then they'll ground and do a double play because they hit the ball on the ground so much. So I like Varsho a lot. He's up there. Like he's on fire. Like whether you believe in hot streaks or not, this dude's just hitting the ball. He's running, he's stealing bases. He has a ton of upside. And I was watching the game the other day, Will. It was on Wednesday. Wednesday's game, Vogelbach smoked three to the fence. Like, that's all I need to see to play somebody. Like, the eye test of, like, Vogelbach hit three balls really, really hard, and they were all outs. But he's 3K, and he's getting a below-average strikeout guy. I think Vogelbach as a punt first baseman's in play today.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. I mean, interesting for him being on Toronto as well, where you look at all these names, Stevie, you feel like he should have some RBI potential, right? Like, you know,
he's got to make contact first.
Well, yeah, that too. But that's what I'm saying. Looking at all these names. But honestly, Stevie, they kind of need a guy like Vogelbach in this lineup because, like, we've talked about Vlad. Vlad's not hitting the ball in the air. He's hitting on the ground. Like, it's just. And he's not going to play every day, obviously, but at 3K, I'm with you. I think he's in play. All in all, I don't really want to stack Toronto too much, but I do think they're reasonable. Like Springer at 4,300, I think that's a really good price for him, Stevie. You know, we seem to not talk about Springer as much or because he's not as in the public eye because Houston's just been so good so long, but I mean, he's still really good. So at 4,300, I don't hate him as a one-off outfielder.
We should also mention the other day, I think it was Wednesday, Addison Barger got called up from AAA, and he is 2K in the outfield for this one. So, I mean, it's hard not to have interest in him in this spot, just in general. So, do you have interest in him at this price point?
Yeah, I mean, see, you can sell me any day on a 2K outfield. That's like selling me on a 2K catcher being called up as well. So I don't hate that at all. I'm in.
Yeah, and it's like it's not like this guy's bad or anything, right? Like this is a guy that is a top five prospect in Toronto's organization. They really like realistically, this is a guy they just tried to find a spot for. Like big power, big arm. Like they were talking about on the broadcast yesterday, he's a huge arm. So yeah, I mean, big power. That's always, I'm in 2K big power. Yeah. So sign me up for that. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think this is a spot. Last season in AAA, it looks like. So he played a little bit of everything last year, but in AAA last year, he had 9 home runs in 88 games. So that's not like big power, but it's enough for me to have interest at 2K. Like, we're talking about a 2K hitter here. So I probably use Strano's more as one-offs here. I don't think I want to stack fully, but a 2K punt, sign me up. Cubs, Red Sox, 8 total, pick 'em game. We got Shada against Cutter. What a battle this is. Shada's going to be shooting and Cutter's going to be cutting. any interest here in Shada?
I'm close, Stevie. I do think he has some upside. Now, once again, Boston's lineup has, you know, gotten a lot better with bringing O'Neill back and bringing Devers back. Like, they went through a little stretch there, Stevie, where those guys were sitting in the lineup. They were trotting out. Was just god-awful. I still like Imanaga today. I think he's got some upside. But he's more of a secondary SP1 for me. And what I mean by that is that's somebody – he'll see someone I'll play in large field tournaments. Not going to play him in 3-entry max or single entry.
Yeah. I wish he was a little bit cheaper. He really hasn't shown – I mean, okay, I say he hasn't shown upside. He dominated Colorado, but honestly, that's not hard to do. The thing is, I definitely prefer left-handed pitching against the Red Sox because you're taking out – I mean, you're taking out 3 of their 4 best bats. Like Tyler O'Neill's the guy you're worried about. Trevor Story's on the IL. He's hurt. That's one of their big right-handed bats. Gresham, I'm pretty sure Gresham's still out. Ref Snyder is not like a power guy. So, I mean, I like Shada a lot in this spot. I don't know how many lineups I'll end up playing. I have been playing 100 lineups almost every day this week. I don't know if I do that again today because of my schedule. But if I do end up playing 100 teams, he's definitely going to be in the player pool. Like you said, on a 3-entry max, Zach Gallen is getting Seattle. So like, if I'm getting off Burns on one of my 3 teams, I'm probably playing Zach Gallen. And I don't know, like, if I'm going to be able to play 2 top end tier pitchers. I think you probably could with the value that we potentially have. So like, that's where I get Shada. Like, I'll play a Shada Burns team, type of build. So it's just still, it's so early in the season still. And we really haven't seen like these pitchers like with the dominant ceilings yet, so it's really hard to like say, hey, I'm gonna pay up for 2 studs this early. But I think like there's pitchers on the slate that you could definitely do that with. Cutter Crawford on the other side. Cutter Crawford's actually pitched really well to start the season. I wouldn't say like he's a lead or anything, but he's pitched well. He's got a really good strikeout pitch against lefties this season. We know Bellinger went on the IL, so they're missing one of their big bats here. Any interest in Cutter Crawford today?
Yeah, I like what I'm seeing from Crawford, Stevie. He's a guy, Stevie, that has actually kind of carried over some of his spring training success into the regular season.
Pitchers, man.
Yes, yes. All of them have been really good. So I, at 8,300, Stevie, I'm in. I mean, this is a guy who can get you. You know, let's call it 20 to 25. Like 25 might be his ceiling, but I'm okay with that at 8,300. If I told you right now Cutter Crawford was going to give you 25 fantasy points, I think we'd all play him for 8,300 today. I'm in, love it. Like I said, I don't think he's going for 30. I don't think he has 30 point upside, Stevie, but I think he can get to 25 in the right spot. Not saying this is absolutely the right spot, but I think he can be between 20 and 25 today. Really, really like Cutter Crawford for the price and what he's done over his body of work. He's been really consistent the whole season. So I like what I'm seeing from him for sure.
And the Cubs have power, but they also strike out. So the upside, the risk reward is there for Cutter Crawford today. Like he has He has 25 plus point upside at 8,300. So yeah, I mean, I don't mind him at all in this spot. Bats, any interest in the Cubs bats here?
No, and Steve, I don't really have interest in the bats in this game. Oh, maybe a one-off on Devers or something like that. But my point is, the slate's really big today, so I don't have to play these guys in a matchup where we're actually going to see two pretty good pitchers. So I'm not really stacked loading up on offense in this one.
I mean, Tyler O'Neill would be the guy that I'd want to play. He's 5K. I don't know how much I get to a one-off 5K hitter. And I actually kind of prefer Tyler O'Neill against righties more than lefties, fly ball-wise. But Tyler O'Neill is off to a really strong start this season, so I don't mind him. Overall, I'm with you. I don't really get a lot of interest in the bats in this game. I'm with you as far as I like both of these pitchers today. This is one of those games. I'm looking it up right now. This is one of those games I think that we get a really low score and start. So first five. What do we got for a first five run line here, Will? We got first five total runs under 4.5 at minus 150. I hate the juice on that, but I might. I think it's close. All right. Washington at Miami. We got Williams. That's Mr. Trevor Williams against Jesus Luzardo. 8.5 total here. Miami at 172 favorites. Any interest in Trevor Williams in this spot?
Stevie, I don't think so. I was close with Williams because Miami's just been they have been playing well. They haven't been putting it together. There are some strikeouts in this lineup. But I think I can get away with not playing Williams. There's just – I think there's some guys in the upper 7Ks that – or one guy in particular that I'm going to like better. I'd rather just spend the $1,500 to get to him. So I'm okay fading Williams today. Probably should have been a hard no, but I did consider it against Miami in the situation.
If you're MMEing today, I think he's in play. Watching Bryce Elder, what was it, Wednesday? Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? God.
Yeah.
He dominated them. And, like, watching that start, because I talk about it all the time. Miami and Tampa are my local stations. So, like, while I'll have MLB TV up on my second monitor usually, I'll have Miami or Tampa, who's ever playing, up on my TV above my computers. So, I mean, I watch Miami and Tampa more than most, I feel like. But, and Miami is just they have holes in their bats right now. Like, they're just not good. If we switch over to, like, their current season stats for Plate IQ, it's awful. Good. It's so bad. Like, there's so much red. Trevor Williams is not an above average pitcher by any means. I mean, you're taking risk by playing him, but he's 6,300. So, like, if you are looking for that top tier type of stack and you just want a guy that can get you like 15 to 20 points, I think Trevor Williams is very reasonably priced for 15 to 20 points in this spot. So as much as I hate to say it, like, he scored 15 to 19 fantasy points in three of his four starts this year. Like, he's been okay. He's generating ground balls and he's not getting blown up. So that's exactly what you're kind of looking for against Miami Marlins. So as much as I hate to say it, Will, if you're MMEing today, I think Trevor Williams is in your player pool. He's going to open up bats for you, and there's plenty of bats. It's 13-game slate. Other side of this one, it's the opposite, right? Jesus Luzardo has been really struggling to start the season. This is a guy that, coming into the season, I think most of us would have said, like, Jesus Luzardo is an ace, and he really just hasn't pitched like one yet. Any interest here in Luzardo?
Slight. I wish he wasn't facing Washington today. And let me say this. Washington was low strikeout last year. There are some strikeouts at the bottom of this lineup this season as well. So that's what I'm saying. Like, as we start adjusting, Steve, I'm starting to look at some of these season numbers just to get an idea of where kind of teams might be headed. And there are some strikeouts at the bottom of the Washington order, but I don't think I want to play Jesus Luzardo because I've seen maybe one or two good games out of him all season, Stevie. And so really, we haven't seen any type of real upside game outside of his 8-strikeout game against Pittsburgh. I think Jesus Luzardo might be a little bit too expensive for where he is this season, not his actual upside. And the more I think about it, see, I think I'm going to take the fade. I want to condense my pool down. I've got another guy in this 8K range that I love today. I mean, love. Cutter Crawford is one of them, but there's another one. I think Cutter Crawford is better than Luzardo right now. I'm fading Luzardo today.
So I have been digging into Jesus Luzardo. I did it for like the 15 minutes before we got started here. Like I just was looking and like, I can't really find anything on what's going on with him. His velocity is down a little. It's not a lot, a little. And that's the only thing that made any sense to me when I was looking into Luzardo this season was his velocity is down like 1 mile an hour on average. Started to tick a little bit back up in recent starts. He threw 104 pitches last time out. His whiff rate on his slider is 51.5%. It was 51.8% last year. His whiff rate on his changeup this year, 42.9%. It was 36.1% last year. The biggest thing that I could find on him, just in general, was like his sinker is not missing bats, but he doesn't throw his sinker a lot. So I don't know. I have slight interest because Washington can't get all these lefties out of the lineup. So they're going to leave some of these lefties in there and they strike out more against left-handed pitching than they do against right-handed pitching. I think he's okay today. And like when Jesus Luzardo is on, he can top that like 30 fantasy point number and he's 8,500. So again, I think like in a 3-entry max, you don't have to do like a Luzardo today. But if you're MMEing on this slate, like if you're playing 20 plus lineups, I think Lizardo's in play. I think he'd be in my player pool. Washington bats. Any interest in the Washington bats here?
No.
Yeah. So on Thursday, Senzel was in the lineup and he got scratched. It was a stomach bug. If he's back in the lineup, he's 2,300 and he has a 262 ISO with a 430 WOBA against left-handed pitching since the start of last season at 2,300. You're not going to find many guys in under 2,500 that have a 262 ISO and a 430 WOBA. Yes. So I don't mind Senzel if he's back in there, if the bug is gone. Maybe he got the fish. I saw your Zaxby's cup. The last time I ate there, I got the fish. Wasn't pleasant. Miami side of this one, I'm really just – it's so hard. I mean, because, like, typically, Trevor Williams pitching, it's like, all right, who are we playing? But right now, the Marlins, man, another team that, like, if you're looking at their current season stats, just awful. I mean, maybe a little Brian De La Cruz at 3,700 here. Like, he's been the one bright spot of this offense this year, but even he's been striking out a ton lately. Any interest here in the Marlins?
If so, it probably just would have been Jazz. And he's 4,900 now, Stevie. You know, Jazz still has a little upside. That's about it. But I'm not actively targeting the Miami Marlins. No way, Jose.
You shouldn't. Just being honest. St. Louis.
By the way, your magic, sorry, I know we got a lot to talk about, but your magic came out firing, made Cleveland look like a JV team tonight. Congrats to the Orlando Magic on a playoff win in 2024.
Paulo Banchero is the real deal. I'm going to keep saying it. If we can get a productive guard, and like we have guards.
Well, Klay Thompson might be coming to town.
I don't even know if I'd want Klay. Like, I mean.
Listen, Klay might legitimately just need a change of scenery.
Yeah.
He might. I mean, that might be all he needs.
I want Jalen Suggs to play like he did tonight. Like, if Jalen Suggs plays like he did tonight, watch out, man. The Magic could make a run. He had a game. He had a game. Like, it was, that's the type of production we need from him. But Banchero, Paulo, just, gosh, man, dude is a beast. Dude is a beast. It made me want to go find some, what is it, 2021 or 2022 packs of basketball cards and rip and try to find some. Paulo Banchero rookies.
Paulo rookies, yeah. You might be able to get a couple of prisms that aren't too bad. PSA 10 right now, because you know the card industry is down a little bit right now. It's going to go back up. I might look for some PSA 10s.
Good luck with that after tonight's game. You know those cards are going through the roof. St. Louis at New York facing the Mets. We got a 7.5 total here. Mets a slight favorite. It's almost a pick'em game. Miles Mikolas against Jose Abreu. Any interest in Mikolas at 5,500?
No, Christ. I'm not doing it, Steve. I'm not doing it.
It's crazy when you're like, I would rather play Trevor Williams than I would rather play.
I would. Mikolas. His matchup is much better. It's much better than this.
Mikolas just doesn't have it.
Give me Albert Suarez at 5,500. That's who I want at 5,500.
Is he? He's not on the slate, is he? Yeah.
No, he's not. But that's what I'm saying.
Messing with my head here. But yeah, Miles Mikolas, 17% Ks this season. His ISO at 225. His WOBA at 330 or 383. Hard hit rate 52%. Swinging strike rate is actually lower than last year. So like, I expect his strikeout rate to kind of decrease a little bit with looking at some of his whiff rates and swinging strike rates. So I think he's like a 15% K rate guy, and you don't want to play a 15% K rate guy. We saw him give up some home runs last time out, and it was just a matter of time before that was going to start happening. So no interest in Miles Mikolas for me either. Jose Abreu on the other side of this game. Any interest here against the Cards?
Maybe. And I feel like this is a decision I won't know for sure until tomorrow, Stevie. The Cards have been bad, but I actually still think the Cardinals are better than what we've seen generally this season. The one thing I do like about Jose is the pitch count is intact. He's getting 90-plus pitches. He does have some strikeout upside. So at 7,100, I might play him above Trevor Williams because of the strikeout upside. Trevor Williams still has the better matchup, in my opinion. Jose's pitching a pretty good pitching in a pretty good ballpark. Match multi-entry, I think I get to some. Not in three-entry or single-entry. Three-entry match or single-entry.
No, and that basically I was going to say the same thing. Like, if you're – We try to do the best we can of like, hey, if you're playing single entry or three entry max, this probably isn't the guy. But if you are running like 20 plus teams, like I think this is a guy. He's kind of like a fly ball guy, and he's pitching in New York, and he doesn't give up home runs because he generates enough soft contact on the fly ball. So I think he's playable here today. Again, he's 7,100, and he's already once this season gone 29 fantasy points on DK. So like,
and that was against Kansas City.
We know the upside's there. The ballpark's fantastic. I think he is very playable. Like, his advanced stats look good. Like, he has big strikeout stuff against righties, which we know Contreras, Arenado, Goldschmidt, Wynn definitely are all in the lineup, and like, okay, I'm getting enough righties where I have a little bit of upside. So yeah, I mean, I think overall, I don't mind it. And again, I feel like this is a guy that is like, you can target just in general. Cardinals are not good. Sorry, Cards fans. I know you guys are in chat. Any interest in the St. Louis bats?
No. And I'm trying not to give all of the heart knows the guys I don't want to play, Stevie, but St. Louis has been struggling, and I'm willing to just continue to leave this offense on the shelf unless they're facing a really bad pitcher. I don't think Buddo's a bad pitcher right now, so I'm fading St. Louis.
Yeah, no real interest for me in St. Louis. I'm with you. I do think some of the Cardinals bats are going to get going. Like, Nolan Gorman's a better hitter than what he's shown so far this season. So, like, he'll get going. Nootbaar being back definitely helps this lineup overall. He's hit safely in four or five games. So it's just overall, I just don't have a ton of interest in the cards. Ballpark too. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm stacking the Mets either. Like, I love picking on Miles Mikolas, but this ballpark stinks. Any interest in the Mets bats here?
I do have interest, Stevie, but part of it is salary related. Part of it is Miles Mikolas is terrible. Let's call it that. And so, you know, I hope DJ Stewart gets to play today. He's 2,800, and he's a guy that I would consider. JD Martinez should be suiting up as well. He's back from the minors after that little back issue or whatever. You've got Nemo. You've got Lindor, who hasn't really been great this season, but I think he's going to come around. Obviously, you've got Pete Alonso. You've got Navarez, who's kind of becoming the guy now with Alvarez out. I just think there's enough cheap pieces. McNeil, 3,200. I think there's enough cheap pieces versus a struggling Mikolas to where I play some Mets stacks today.
I think they're a secondary stack. I don't know if I'd full stack the Mets in this ballpark. I like the idea of picking on Mikolas with Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, Beatty. You mentioned my boy DJ Stewart. I love playing DJ Stewart. Like, under 3K home run upside, I'm in. I mean, I don't care if you go 1-for-4 with a home run and 3 strikeouts. Who cares?
Yeah, we'll take it.
That's what you're playing DJ Stewart for. You're chasing the home run upside. Cleveland at Indian, or Cleveland at Atlanta. 9 total in this game. Atlanta, 205 favorite. Logan Allen. Yes, that Logan Allen. We had another one earlier this week against Chris Sale. Any interest here in Logan Allen?
No. Facing the Braves, not doing it.
Yeah, it's so hard to get excited about playing a lefty, below average strikeout lefty against Atlanta. Oof. Like,
oh boy.
Yeah, it's tough. If that's a tough scene. Atlanta, while they have struggled a little bit this season against left-handed pitching, we just kind of know that, like, this is one of the best teams in baseball against left-handed pitching, and we just trust the process here. So yeah, I'm out on Allen. Chris Sale, 9,300 going up against Cleveland. Any interest here in Sale?
Oh man, Stevie, like, I don't know if this is the spot. Like, Cleveland's been fairly low strikeout. There's a couple strikeouts in the lineup. Don't get me wrong. The other thing is, you know, Chris Sale's gotten it done against pretty much everybody he's faced this season. I mean, he struggled with Miami, but Arizona's probably comparable to Cleveland's team. And in fact, Arizona's absolutely better than Cleveland in terms of overall power, still low strikeouts. I mean, it was early in the season, but I mean, 6 Ks, 5 1/3 innings, didn't really get shelled too much. Same thing against Texas, Stevie. Texas is definitely a comparable or a better offense, in my opinion, than Cleveland. And they're not a high strikeout team this season either. I think I play them in mass multi-entry because the upside's there. But I don't get to them in single entry or three entry max. We've got some guys for that. One guy coming up real soon in particular. But I think Sale deserves to get played in mass multi-entry for sure. Like, he's been fine.
I want to see what the lineup looks like. Because like, Cleveland typically has a lot of lefties in their lineup. That's why they're really tough against right-handed pitching in general. If they leave all these lefties in there, like, if we get 4-5 lefties and then you get some of the bad righties in there, like,
yeah,
Sale gets a huge bump for me. Because like, we've already seen now, like, Chris Sale throw over 100 pitches in a start. So we're like, all right,
yeah,
the worry of like his ceiling being capped because of pitch count is kind of out. He is giving up a ton of hard contact, but okay, it's Cleveland. You're not too concerned about that. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think you just kind of want to see what the lineup looks like here for Cleveland. Because even when Chris Sale has struggled over the last few years, like, he's still dominant against left-handed pitch hitters. I mean, it's going to be a
lineup thing for me. I'm assuming Kwan and the Naylor brothers play, so he probably gets at least three minimum. Well,
they'll sit Bo sometimes against lefties for, what's the other catcher? Hedges, right?
Hedges, who's worse?
And, like, David Fry probably cracks the lineup for somebody. Like, they have a couple righties waiting, right, just in general. Yeah. Is Laureano...
They'll probably play Jimenez. Jimenez is an everyday guy for them right now.
Laureano will probably crack the lineup for somebody. But, like, again, we're talking about bad righties. Like, we're not talking about good righties.
That's what I'm saying,
like, yeah. Yeah, so... Yeah, I think Jimenez plays. Sale's pure lineup. I've been paying attention to lineups, and I think that's very important just in general, and you just kind of want to see what the lineup looks like for Sale today. He's on the list. You can't not have him on the list today.
Yeah.
Good
pitching slate.
A lot of hitters, too. Trust me. There's plenty of bats. Goes back to, like, how much, like, we want to play the Dodgers against Chris Bassett. Such a good spot. Anyway, bats in this game, any interest in the Cleveland bats?
No, I'm going to fade Cleveland because I don't need low-power Cleveland on a 10-game slate, Stevie. They're not going to beat me today. If they do, hey, good for them.
Hey, they made us some money yesterday. Jose Ramirez, if you played him, he had a bomb. We got the over, too, we bet. That was one of the morning grind bets yesterday. It was over 7.5 in that game. So that hit as well. I think it was 10 runs. If you want a cheap bat, again, we've already mentioned a few, but we like a lot of pitching on this slate, which we've talked about a lot in depth. Tyler Freeman's 2,900. He continues to hit left-handed pitching really well. And they typically hit Tyler Freeman in the two-hole against left-handed pitching. So I think Tyler Freeman at 2,900, very much in play here. A guy that's good at getting on base. And Sale will give up one or two bombs. Atlanta is one of those teams you're just stacking today. Like, again, we've talked about a ton of pitching, but I think Atlanta against Logan Allen, a below average strikeout pitcher, you're just loading up on the Atlanta bats today. Cunha and Ozuna are two of the top hitters on the entire slate.
Yeah, for sure. Then we drop down and we grab Duvall on the cheap end.
Hit a bomb the other day.
Yeah, yeah. Arcia batting second. Or I think he'll bat second in this game.
He should. They've been flipping him
and Harris for righty-lefty. So Arcia is the guy that will be on my list for sure. Austin Riley, 5,700. You can get him. Travis d'Arnaud, they finally got him up over 4K, Stevie. In the mid 4K range. I mean, he's still been low 4K range, even though he'd just been at under 4K even earlier this week, Steven. He was just tearing the cover off the ball. And 4,400, I definitely think he's a guy that you can consider. Not to leave out Matt Olson, folks. We keep talking about it. And I know, like, recently we haven't seen those double-digit fantasy point games, but they will come. At 1,500, I don't mind him either. Lefty.
All right, Tampa Bay at Chicago taking on the White Sox. 8 total in this game. Tampa is a -250 favorite. Zach Eflin against Chris Flexen. Oh, we'll talk about Chris Flexen in a second. But let's talk about Zach Eflin. He has been better, right? Like, started kind of shaky, but he's been a lot better here recently. Better. And, I mean, here you go. The perfect get-right spot. You get Chicago. Hard not to have interest here in Eflin. It's a huge slate. There's 13 games. I don't think we see like a lot of chalky pitchers anyway. I think Zach Eflin very much in play here.
You know what? I've been saying 10, Steve. Yeah, I don't know why I thought we had 10 games.
13,
today,
buddy. We are 13.
At any rate, love Zach Eflin at 9K, Stevie. You know, the White Sox were fairly low strikeout earlier. Then more guys got hurt. They threw in some scrubs, and now this lineup is just dreadful. It's like a wasteland. And, I mean, Zach Eflin to me is a top play today, Stevie. Like, just on the fact that not only is he probably going to have strikeout upside, and Tampa Bay, I hate the way they handle their pitchers, but if he's rolling, he could be at 75 pitches through six here. He could easily.
And they probably yank him.
They might. But I'm hoping that that's at that low of a number, they let him cruise a little bit. I think he's got at least 7-inning upside here, and I like him at 9K.
I haven't actually.
Boy, have they been frustrating, Steve. Frustrating. They let Zach, you're about to get me on a rampage here. They let Zach Little go, and they let Pepiot go, and then Eflin is done, and what's the other guy? Came over from Cleveland. Oh, man, what is his name? But they pull him every start, too, it feels like.
Tyler Alexander?
Savali. Savali's pitching well. Pull him at 79 pitches. We're like, what are you doing? All right, I'm done with my rant. Here we go. Love Eflin.
Yeah, Tampa. I mean, like, it hasn't changed. This has been a thing for Tampa for the last few years. At least they're not doing like this opener thing every single slate now. Like that was that 3 years ago? The most tilting thing. You couldn't play a starting pitcher, but Eflin is an elite strike thrower. He doesn't typically walk people. He has good command. He'll go out and get you 5 to 7 strikeouts. He's like your cash games. You're probably building around like Eflin Burns today. In tournaments, like Zach Eflin's ceiling, because of the pitch count stuff, seems to be like capped, right? Like just in general. So in large field tournaments, if Eflin starts getting like steamrolled projection wise and his projected ownership goes through the roof because he's getting the White Sox and the White Sox stinks, and it's not a secret anymore. They're awful. Like Danny Mendick has been hitting at the top of the lineup with Nicky Lopez, and Kevin Pillar and DeJong are in the lineup. Like, this lineup stinks. Ceiling-wise, maybe you could be under on him, but, I mean, it's really hard to pass on this matchup. Chris Flexen on the other side pitched out of the bullpen the other day, threw 28 pitches, should still throw, like, 50 to 70 pitches in this spot, maybe a little bit more. He might be the worst pitcher on the slate. The White Sox are just there. They don't have anybody. They're hurting so bad. I think it's just a matter of time before Kopech becomes a starter again, because they just don't have anything. And Tampa's been awful this season, but there's no chance I'm playing Chris Flexen today.
Oh yeah. Forget about it.
Tampa bats. I know they've been struggling, Will, but man, Chris Flexen stinks. I mean, this is one of those spots. I throw everything out the window and just play batters against bad pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me a Rosarino. And Rosario has actually been one of their bright spots this season, Stevie. He's kind of not been on the terrible list for Tampa Bay. So please, guys, make sure Rosario's in the lineup today. You know, Paredes, who's been fairly low strikeout, he's had two okay games, so I don't mind him. Don't mind Yandy Diaz. You know, I'm not thrilled about Pinto. Pinto's kind of been one of their catchers that has played a fair amount of days. But even still, Stevie, I think we definitely need to play some Tampa Bay stats.
Derek says, Stevie had a retirement to play for the White Sox. My son had practice tonight for baseball, and there was no team behind us, which there always is. So I threw about 20, 25 tonight. Not miles an hour. Threw like 20, 25 pitches. I had to ice my elbow, and my arm still hurts. So maybe, but I miss it. I love baseball. I love coaching baseball. I'm having a blast coaching my son. It's been a ton of fun. So White Sox bats, any interest in the White Sox bats against Eflin?
No.
Yeah, one of the reasons why we like Eflin is just,
yeah,
this lineup stinks. I mean, Gavin Sheets, I'll keep saying it, like, he's been the bright spot, but even like Gavin Sheets has been struggling lately because, I mean, singles aren't going to get you there when nobody behind you can get you around. So
yeah,
it's tough to play. Tough to play right now. Cincinnati at Texas. 8.5 total in this game. Texas, a 165 favorite. Ashcraft against Eovaldi. Any interest here in Ashcraft?
No. Not playing them against Texas. Texas, much lower strikeout overall as a team this season, Stevie. And Graham Ashcraft has been better, don't get me wrong, and has, you know, had a couple of nice performances, or at least one, I think, around 23, 25, something like that. But I'm not playing Graham Ashcraft at 8 o'clock, at 8,000 against the Texas Rangers today. No way.
Yeah, we could be picky, right? Like, we've already talked about so many pitchers we like on this slate. There's a couple more that we're going to talk about that we like on this slate. You could be picky, right? So at the end of the day, I just don't want to play Ashcraft against a good offense. I think Ashcraft has the potential to be above average pitcher. He might actually be in an above average pitcher right now. But I don't want to play him against Texas. I mean, again, I can be picky. And like Eovaldi on the other side of this game, Eovaldi has upside. Cincinnati is a high strikeout offense.
Yes.
I might pass on the Eovaldi today. Like, he just might be an odd man out for me because I can be picky, and Eovaldi doesn't have like that dominant 10 strikeout stuff at 8,600. So Eovaldi is a great pitcher. Cincinnati strikes out a ton. This could easily work out for your Eovaldi, but I think I'm going to pass on him today. I think I can be picky.
I get it. We're going to be on opposite ends on this one, though.
We're allowed to do that.
I like Eovaldi because of everything that you said. Like, in my opinion, Eovaldi is definitely better than Ashcraft right now. And I think this lineup gives him an extra strikeout or two. And Eovaldi's a guy that, you know, isn't going to get out there and walk 20 guys and get himself into too many jams. May give up a couple hits, but typically, Steve, if he's rolling, keeping the ball on the ground, keeping the ball in the park, you're not running the score up against him. I think he's got a couple extra strikeouts with this Cincinnati lineup. I would typically probably pencil him in for 5. I think today is a 6 or 7 strikeout game, and I don't think he's going to get beat up. So if we can get him to 6 to 7 innings, 6 or 7 strikeouts, I think he puts up a nice performance today. So I like Eovaldi. He's also my other guy in that 8K range, Stevie. Him and Cutter Crawford are like kind of like my 8K guys that I want to build around today, pairing with other people. So, you know, I like him a ton.
Yeah, I can see myself like looking at a strikeout prop. I don't disagree with that at all. But as far as like just playing him, his command was really bad in the Atlanta start last time out. He struggled against Houston. The only two teams he's dominated this season are Tampa and Oakland. And Cincinnati, like, while they do strike out, they have a ton of power. Eovaldi's a guy that can give up some home runs. So I worry overall just about the matchup. I like the strikeout upside, but I'd be lying to you if I don't think that, like, Eovaldi's going to give up, like, 3-plus runs in this game. He might strike out 7 or 8. But 3 runs with the strikeouts, I just don't see him touching some of the other guys in this range. So I think Eovaldi's a great pitcher overall. I don't know if great's the right word. I think Eovaldi's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher. But I don't think solid. I'm glad. When we disagree, it's fine. Usually when I make jelly beans, but we don't have time for that. Any interest in the Cincinnati Bats here?
If I was, Steve, it'd be from a one-off perspective for sure. But I don't plan to load up on Cincinnati today. If there was one guy I would play, it probably be Ellie or Encarnacion Strand. But other than that, I don't. And he's a righty, but I don't plan on loading up here. So no big interest in Cincinnati.
Ellie De La Cruz has 15 stolen bases already. Has 7 home runs.
Yeah, he's rolling, man.
Stolen bases.
Rolling.
It's wild. See, I think I'm the opposite. I think if I'm playing Cincinnati today, I think I'm stacking them. I think like it's a full on 4 on FanDuel, 5 on DK, full on stacking Cincinnati. Like, I'm building lineup HQ and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, I want 10% five-man stacks of Cincinnati today. And that's, I think that's how I would play them. I think you're playing them today because of the ceiling. I mean, I think that's why you're playing Texas on the other side of this game. You're playing Texas on this game, other side of this game, because of the ceiling. We talked a lot about pitching on this slate. We're going to talk about more pitching. We got to play some bats. This is one of those games that I kind of have circled for some bats, and I like stacking both sides of this game.
Yeah, I like Texas today as well. Definitely think this is a team that could do some damage. And I don't think they get played as much today, Steve, because the slate's too big. Like people,
I don't think either one of these teams get played today.
Yeah, it's so, you know, Stevie, in baseball, we know this. If you just keep playing the good teams every day, the wins will come, right? Because, like, this is a spot where Texas scores 12 runs out of nowhere and nobody expects it because they're facing Graham Ashcraft, who's been okay today, been okay this season. But love Texas, love Heim. I talked about Seager, one of my favorite bats. Marcus Semien's been good this year. Adolis Garcia, shout out to him. Used to be an Atlanta Brave, I think, as well. Man, he's been hitting the cover off the ball. Evan Carter, Langford, just – so many guys, I definitely want to stack this team today on a huge slate where they're going completely unowned, as are some of the other big offenses.
Yeah, Josh Smith is hitting the ball really well right now. So, all right, we got the Yankees and the Brewers. This game has an 8.5 total. Yankees are 126 favorite. Luis Gill against Colin Ray in this one. Any interest here in Gill?
Yep, don't mind Gill. Got some strikeout upside. Definitely had some control issues, Stevie. You know, walking guys galore, but the strikeouts are there. I think he could pitch around Milwaukee a little bit. You know, we've seen him face Arizona, Toronto back-to-back. Picked up 6 strikeouts, gave up a few more hits, and then we've also seen him face Tampa Bay. 9 strikeouts in that matchup, Stevie. I'm not afraid of Milwaukee as the lineup currently constructed. Love him at 7,800. Definitely a candidate for me on today's slate.
Yeah, he's like one of those darling StatCast guys. You look at some of his StatCast stuff, and it's just absolutely phenomenal. He's getting great run value on almost all of his pitches. His X batting average is 105. That's top 1% in baseball. His hard hit rate's 25%. He's yet to give up a barrel. He hasn't given up a barrel. If you haven't given up a barrel and you've pitched 4 starts, you're getting good movement. You've played Toronto twice and Arizona and you haven't given up a barrel. Like, you're getting good movement on your stuff. K rate sitting at 34.5%, top 7 percentile in that. Just, he's been phenomenal, Will. Like, his advanced stats back it up. I always get concerned when you're like a 2-pitch pitcher. Like, I guess he has a little bit of a slider that he uses every once in a while, but he's a fastball changeup guy. I feel like it's really hard to say you're going to continue to do that, but he's getting a lot of movement on his fastball and it's working really well for him. I like Milwaukee in general. I just don't think I like them today. I think this is a tough spot. Gill is another guy. Like, again, this is one of the reasons that I don't have to play either pitcher. Honestly, it's easy to miss barrels against Toronto. That's actually funny. That made me laugh. Good job, Michael. But this is why I don't have to get, like, Ashcraft or Eovaldi in the game before this, because, like, I think Gill and Eovaldi have very similar ceilings, and Gill is $800 less.
Yeah.
Colin Ray on the other side of this game. Colin Ray has been okay. He hasn't been great, but he's been okay. He's had some good matchups to start the season. He's had the Mets, the Mariners, and the Cardinals. He faced the Baltimore Orioles and got beat up a little bit. Any interest here in Ray?
No.
Yeah, quick note for me, too. You have to be able to attack the Yankees lineup. Colin Ray can't attack the lineup. He has a 15% K rate. His swinging strike rate is 7%. He does not have strikeout stuff. The Yankees are a top stack on the slate today. You get them on the road. We typically like road teams because they're guaranteed the ninth, but I would definitely rather have the Yankees at home in this game.
For sure.
Dave in chat says, Ray made the Cardinals look silly. That's not hard to do. I like the Yankees a lot today. I think they're a team you definitely want to play.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Juan Soto's been good this season already, Stevie. Now you're giving him a pitcher that, you know, isn't going to have much swing and miss stuff, so I like that. Aaron Judge, obviously another one of their big bats that you can get involved with. Volpe, Oswaldo Cabrera, Gleyber Torres, while his season hasn't been great to kick off the year. Rizzo, Stevie, starting to heat up. I was hoping, Stevie, this would come. My boy Rizzo, starting to heat up here. 3,900. May hear his name again tonight. And then, of course, at catcher, I feel like we'll for sure see Welsh today. No doubt about it. Yankees are cheap enough. Love this team against Ray today.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
I will say the Yankees are like one of the most frustrating teams to stack in baseball.
Oh, yeah, them in Toronto. Will you get them right? You don't know.
You never know. I mean, Alex Wood. That's all I'm going to say. If you played the late slate, you know what I mean. But yeah, I mean, the Yankees, they're in a great spot. It's hard to pass on them. Like I said, you got to be able to attack them, and I just don't see them attacking. And like you said, Rizzo, when Rizzo gets hot, it's hard not to play him, and he's hitting the ball really well. I watched both of those home runs, and he crushed both of those pitches. Any interest here in the Milwaukee bats?
Negative.
I'll say this about the Milwaukee bats here. Like, Gill is wild. So, like, this is typically a pitcher I want to target, but, like, he's not giving up any hard hits. That is not the one you typically want to target. Like, his walk rate's 20%. So, like, if he was giving up a lot of hard hits and barrels and his ISO was high, like, this is exactly the type of guy you want to target because, I mean, looking at his stuff. But I just don't think I can do it here. Like, I don't think I want to do it. Overall, I think I'm going to pass on the Brewers today. And plenty of slates left on this season to play some Brewers.
Yeah.
All right, moving along. Still a bunch of games to get through. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us. And I know this is a longer podcast, but that's what happens when they give us 13 on a Friday. Minnesota at LA taking on the Angels. 8.5 total. Pick 'em game. Bailey Ober against Patrick Sandoval. Any interest here in Bailey Ober?
No.
Yeah, I like the potential price point, and I think on different slate, you could potentially play Bailey Ober today. I just don't think you can do it today and on this slate. Man, the price is so good though, Will. Like, it's so good. he's a fringe play for me. He's a fringe play for me. All you got to do is pitch around Mike Trout. I don't know how many times I got to say it. All you got to do is pitch around Mike Trout. Patrick Sandoval on the other side, any interest in him in this spot?
See, Sandoval's fringe for me. Minnesota, they're another team that's been striking out a ton. He hasn't been great this season, Stevie, but he's at home. He has some ability. If he can keep the ball in the yard and not let them run the score up on him, and not run his pitch count up early, he could get through six innings and probably pick up six strikeouts against this team. Sandoval's on the edge, but he hasn't been great this season, but he's on the edge because of the matchup.
He's on the edge of glory. I like his strikeout upside here. He's somebody that I wrote down to see if his strikeout prop comes in at like 5.5, because I like the over on 5.5.
It better be, because if they give us 4.5, I'm – I'm going to be like that gift that says, here, take my money.
Yeah, I highly doubt they give us 4.5, but I would pay the juice if they gave us 4.5, that's for sure. But Sandoval has strikeout upside, Minnesota strikes out. I mean, they can go very right-handed, which is very concerning for a guy like Sandoval, who definitely is splitsy, really good against lefties, struggles against righties. So I'm just worried about that. Like, they could go Jeffers, Buxton, Margot, Miranda, Santana hits from both sides. They have Austin Martin in this lineup. Vasquez, they can get in the lineup. They realistically could take all the lefties out of the lineup. That's what they did against Crochet the other day. I was very high on Crochet, and I still rolled him out there, but the lineup scared me, and I should have probably backed it down a little bit. So if they roll 9 righties against Sandoval, I don't know if I'd necessarily have to play him today because of the slate. Any interest in the Minnesota bats in this one?
Yeah, for the same reason I like Sandoval, the same reason I hate him, Stevie. It's everything you talked about. Give me the righties, give me the lefties. I've seen Sandoval just come out and have meltdowns over and over and over. So I'm in on this team from a stat perspective.
Yeah, I don't mind Minnesota at all today. Probably mini stack. But I do think that they're okay. And then the Angels, I mean, Mike Trout, was he at 10 home runs already? Just keeps doing it every single day, it feels like, because nobody would pitch around him. I'm telling you, Will, like if I could come out right now of this chair and face Mike Trout and he wouldn't have a pitch to hit because that's how I'd pitch him. I'd throw everything in the dirt. You want to swing at it, go for it. But you're not getting anything. Like, I don't know why teams keep pitching to him. Like, you take – and you look at this team statistics, and you're like, why are you pitching this guy? Any interest in LA bats?
Definitely Mike Trout. Yeah, he's one of their hitters for sure.
Ohtani Ober has a lower strikeout rate against righties, too. He's kind of reverse splitsy with his pitch mix, yeah, which favors Trout even more.
Yep, and that's what I was saying, you know, about Ohtani as well. You know, I like him. So those two guys for sure, even though he's a kind of a big spin, I don't hate it.
Joe Adell at 3K, hits now in 4 straight, and he's starting to hit the ball hard. Reverse splitsy type pitcher with Ober here. I think Joe Adell is another one of those cheap guys you can look at, as a potential one off today.
Yeah.
Arizona at Seattle. We're cruising along 7.5 total. Arizona 132 favorite, Zach Gallen, Emerson Hancock. Hey, we have another ace, and we have another ace in a really good spot. Zach Gallen, 10K. This is a spot he should dominate.
Yeah, for sure. Love Zach Gallen today at 10K. He absolutely needs to be in your lineup. This is a guy, Stevie, I've talked about a lot of pitchers that are probably just playing in mass multi-entry. Gallen is someone I would play across the board. Single entry, 3-entry max, 20-entry max, mass multi-entry. He goes in the pool today. This matchup against Seattle is a good one for him, Stevie. Strikeouts galore. And this is a guy, if he's rolling, they will let him pitch. We've already seen him go over 100 pitches so far this season. And I think this is a spot where he could pick up a quality start and definitely has an opportunity to be in line for the win. I think the strikeouts are there. Zach Gallen, really good play.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything else to add. Emerson Hancock on the other side here, low strikeout, below average strikeout pitcher facing a fantastic Arizona lineup. This is an easy stay away spot for me.
Yep. No Hancock for me either.
Let's talk Arizona bats.
Yeah, big stack today. Big stack.
Yeah, I mean, don't necessarily love the ballpark, but are not to have a lot of interest here in Arizona against this guy.
Yeah, and we're getting a little bit of a discount on Corbin Carroll too, Steve. Like, I think we've played Corbin Carroll as high as maybe 5,800 at certain spots this season, so we're getting a discount on him. We should see Jock Peterson today at 4,200. Gurriel. Don't mind him either. Blaze Alexander continues to play. He's 3,900. I don't hate him. They've just been playing Eugenio Suarez, Stevie, even though I thought they would play a little bit more Jace Peterson. They seem committed to Eugenio
Suarez. Jace got sent down or released.
Yeah. So I don't hate him. Ketel Marte is another one of their pretty much everyday guys. Don't hate him. Christian Walker, 5K. Moreno back, 3,700. Like, it's just, I love this lineup, Stevie. And this is a good spot for them. Even though we talk about the ballpark, they can score some runs. And this is a team that doesn't have to hit the home run ball to score 6 to 7 runs. They could get there through single steals. At the top of this lineup, Stevie, Carroll and Marte both will take off and run. So I like the opportunity here for the Diamondbacks.
If Pavin Smith continues to hit towards the top of the lineup, it's hard not to have interest in him at 2,700 too. So, yeah, really, really interested in Arizona. And Jace Peterson got released, not even sent down. He gone. See ya. Can't hit under 50. any interest in the Seattle bats in this one?
No.
Hey, it was good to see Julio Rodriguez steal a base, like doing something to trying to get going, man. Had a couple hits. Like, this is now 3 of his last 5 games. He has multiple hits. He's hitting. He's just not hitting home runs. It's very interesting. Launch angle stuff with him, but he'd be the one guy I'd play, but I'm not one-offing him likely in this spot. Philadelphia at San Diego. 7.5 total pick'em game. Aaron Nola, Joe Musgrove. Any interest here in Nola?
I am not playing Aaron Nola against San Diego. I know he's had a couple better performances, Stevie. Guess who those guys were? The White Sox and the Colorado Rockies. You better have good performances against them. At 10-3, I don't think there's any reason to play Aaron Nola today at this price. Too many other guys that are cheaper and better spots, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, so this is what I'm going to say on Nola. You mentioned the White Sox and the Rockies. It's not like you're saying much different than like San Diego. They stink. They're gutless. They don't want to hit. They're
but
coming
they
off
strike
of,
out like these other.
But
teams.
they're coming off of an altitude game, mm-hmm. right? They're coming back from Coors. The ball is going to look a little different for the first game. We always see this. Aaron Nola is not my favorite by any means. Like, not even, he's not even like probably a top 5 pitcher for me today, right? Like, I think that we have so many good pitchers on this slate. It's baseball. And the thing that I love about baseball is like, you can pay up to get different sometimes. I think you could pay up to get different to play Aaron Nola today. Like, if you're running 150 today, Chief, I think you could double the field on Nola and only have to play like 15% of a guy that can get you 30 fantasy points. So I think leverage wise and tournament game theory wise, Nola makes sense in that aspect. Again, he's not a top 5 pitcher for me today, but from the game theory perspective and from a tournament perspective, I think Nola's in play because of that. Yes, the Padres don't strike out. I get that. I agree with you. I don't necessarily want to play Nola. That's why he's not a top 5 pitcher for me today. But when we're looking at just pure ceiling, and I don't think Nola's going to get a lot of ownership today. I think he projects for less than 10%. I think Nola comes in at like the
5% to 100%.
5 to 8%. So like I could play 12 to 15% of him and double the field. Okay. He's not going to go out and get shelled in this spot. So again, I think all you need is Nola to outscore Gallen or Burns. I think the probability of that happening is very slow, very low. But I think that just from a perspective of like game theory, I think he's in play. Padres coming off of altitude again, like I said, helps a little bit. The ball look a little different.
Hey, tell Narniak. Well, I'll tell him. He said Sunday the Astros come to Coors. Actually, they're going to be in Mexico City, which is even better hitting conditions than Coors. Yeah. The Astros are probably going to put up some runs this weekend. No doubt about it.
Yeah, whether you like if you like Trevor Bauer or you don't like Trevor Bauer, to each his own. He does YouTube now. Like he's been doing YouTube for a while. He is actually pitching in Mexico City, like just in general right now. Like that's where he's actually pitching. He has some blogs about or vlogs on YouTube about how the elevation has like just changed his pitches and like his cutter's not working and like stuff like that. And it's just everything that you've ever wanted to know from a pitcher's perspective, like. Trevor Bauer, whether you like anything about Trevor Bauer or not, he is an elite pitcher. He's a Cy Young type pitcher. And like he gives us a YouTube like vlog on how altitude changes his pitches. And like, I just thought it was really interesting. I watched it the other day. Joe Musgrove, any interest in Musgrove here?
No.
Haven't played him yet. Don't expect to play him here. I just, again, like, something's not clicking for Musgrove. He's getting hit really hard to start the season, especially against righties. I don't think any team, Dave, will sign Bauer for what it's worth. I think there's been too much that's happened. I don't think. And, like, he got cleared of a lot of his wrongdoing. I just don't think any team is going to sign Bauer. Cards, I mean, hey. If, like, all this stuff didn't happen, I would bet. And, like, he offered to pitch for league minimum this year, and nobody would sign him. Like, it's just an owner's thing. A lot of bad blood stuff. But, yeah, anyway. Any interest here in the Phillies bats?
I think so, Stevie. I don't like this ballpark, but Joe Musgrove hasn't been great, man. And so, you know, give me Schwarber, give me Marsh, give me Castellanos, give me Trey Turner. You know, give me Bryce Harper. I like this team today. I've been, you know, call me a Musgrove hater since spring training, and it has paid off for me, Steve. I've been taking unders on him most starts, and while, you know, some of these he's got me, I've won most of these. So give me the Philly bets.
He's been a little reverse splitsy this season, and he's been reverse splitsy throughout his career. So Trey Turner, I think, is in a great spot. Alec Bohm, I think, is in a really good spot. So, and that's not to say that Schwarber and Harper – Harper home run when he was in the lineup today on Thursday was like the easiest call ever. So baby narrative and a great spot in Cincinnati. He crushed that ball too. It was great. It was just a pleasant thing to watch. I do think Philly is in play. Yeah, very much in play. I just, again, Musgrove, something's not clicking for Musgrove. He's not generating strikeouts. He's struggling, especially against righties. So a little reverse splitsy here. I wish like they had that like giant power righty. I don't know if I'd call Trey Turner a power righty. And then, like, even Alec Bohm, I don't know if I'd call him like a power righty.
He's a speedy righty, Trey Turner.
We're here. We're to the last game. 13 games, an hour and 17 minutes later. Pittsburgh at San Francisco. 8 total. The Giants are 154 favorites. We got Quinn Priester going up against Kyle Harrison. Any interest here in Quinn Priester?
No, he's been awful since he came to the big leagues last year, making my family name look terrible. And I will not be investing in Quinn Priester today.
Will's like, no, I don't want it. So, yeah, I don't. This is not the slate, I think, for Quinn Priester. Again, very young pitcher. He has. Everything I've ever read about him is like he has a major league curveball. Like he has a giant curveball and just hasn't showed up yet. Like we're waiting for it to show up. I don't think this is the spot you want to play him. He's really struggled with home runs. He gave up 3 home runs to Boston. He struggled with home runs last year. Good ballpark to struggle with home runs, but still not a spot I want to play him. Any interest in Harrison on the other side here?
No, once again, Steve, I've got my 8K group that I like. We've got Gil. We've got our 9K group that we like. And that's kind of why, like you talked about, see, we can be selective. I don't want to play Harrison today.
If Harrison was 7K, I'd
play him. Oh, I'm in. Yep. Yeah.
If he was 7K, I'd play him today. He's not 7K. Any interest in the Pittsburgh bats against him here?
I don't really want to play Pittsburgh either, but I don't want to play Harrison.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could take shots on maybe like a 3-man stack with like Joe, Reynolds, Hayes. I'm missing somebody. Oliveris. Oh, and McCutcheon. Like any of the right-handed bats, like if you want to do like a little 2 or 3-man stack with them, I don't hate it. They're cheap. That's one of the reasons that I don't mind them here is they're cheap. Pittsburgh's cheap outside of Reynolds. So like maybe I leave Reynolds off my like little mini stack here because he's still, and like Reynolds is like 47. It's not like he's super expensive. So yeah, I mean, a little mini stack with Pittsburgh, I think is okay. It's not my favorite thing, but it's okay. San Francisco, any interest in the Giants bats here?
Yeah, I do like the Giants bats, Stevie, because Quinn Priester, like we talked about, has been rough. Give me Soler. Give me Conforto. Give me Jung Ho Lee, my good friend from the KBO. Give me Matt Chapman, the work, Stevie. I like this whole team. I'm assuming that they, you know, phase in some of the lefties today around the everyday guys. Jung Ho Lee probably leads off here and should have some possible run protection behind him. So I really like him today.
I like the Giants more than I probably should.
Yeah. I love the Giants today, man. Quinn Priester is terrible.
And what's weird is he's like a ground ball guy, but he generates so much lift on his pitches that like he's just not good. So yeah, I mean I have way more interest in the Giants today than I probably should, for what it's worth. Like they're not expensive outside of like Soler, and they have a lot of upside. So, and like I keep saying, I think Jung Ho Lee is like legit. I think he's legit. All right. Morning grind game. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us. It's been a fun podcast, at least. Like, I know it's been a little long, but it's been a fun podcast. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got?
This is probably an easy one. Give me Luis Gil.
Yes. I don't disagree with that one at all. I am going to go Sandoval in this one. Over 8K to score under 15. Who is your bust today?
So many guys, Stevie. But not a lot above 8K. I guess if I had to go with one, give me Bassett.
I was going to say, there is one really clear answer over 8K today. I was like, no. I'm going to go Kyle Harrison. I like the prospects of Kyle Harrison, but again, I just 8,400 in this range today, like no chance. There's just no chance I'm playing Kyle Harrison today. Over 4K to hit a home run. Coors is gone. We don't have to worry about picking somebody from Coors. Over 4K to hit a home run. Who's going yard today?
Whole lot of options today, Stevie. Whole lot of guys that we could target. I'm going to go down into the 5K range and go with a guy that I talked about way early, Stevie. Give me Adley Rutschman, 5,200 facing Stripling.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I'm going to go even cheaper than you today. Listen, if I had to pick one player to hit a home run on this slate, without a doubt, it would be Ohtani. Okay? But I don't want to give out Ohtani. I don't think that's fun. I do think, however, Max Muncy is fun. So let's go Max Muncy. He hasn't hit a home run in over 10 days. He's due, as I like to point out to Derek Carty, you know. I had so much fun doing a crunch time with Derek Carty today. And even afterwards in his messages, like, because he told me Julian had a huge pinch hit risk. And I was like, it doesn't matter if he hits a home run. Well, he hit two. So there you go, Carty. Suck it. Under 4K to get two hits. Who's a cheap bat that you like today? There's a lot of them.
Well, man, I talked about, you know, one of my favorite players. Michael Brantley is gone. But Anthony Rizzo, Stevie, is still here, hanging on for dear life at 3,900. Love him today.
Yeah, I hear you. As much as I like Varsho, it seems like he wants to get one hit a day, because it's just annoying, and I don't know if I want to pick him because of that. There's a lot of options that we talked about here. And I'm trying to – I wrote down Varsho, but I don't know if I want to go with Varsho. I was trying to remember who I like down here. There was a – oh, I know who it is, from Toronto. Same game. Give me Addison Barger to get his first major league hit and have a double hit game. So there you go. Armstrong hit his first home run today. First hit of his career home run. O'Hearn, is O'Hearn under 4K? I always like O'Hearn. Is he under 4K? See, he's 4K now, so it's not under 4K. We all know I like O'Hearn. Stack the score, six or more runs. Who do you got today, Will?
Man, so many places we could go, Stevie. I think I'm not going necessarily off the beaten path, but man, I'm going to stay in this last game. I'm not a believer in Quinn Priester right now. Give me San Francisco, man. I think they can file the Dodgers late.
I said I have more interest in Arizona or San Francisco than I probably should. It's a really good spot for them. I mean, I really like. It pains me to say this, but I really, really, really like Tampa Bay today. It just sounds ugly, but give me Tampa. Probably use them more as like four man stacks than five man stacks on DK, but I just Chris Flexen is not good. He's just not good at all. So give me Tampa. Any player props or pick and plays that you like here on this slate?
Let me see, Stevie, because some were up, and I have my eye on one. I just want to make sure they haven't moved it. So I'm logging into my app to make sure. And, Stevie, what do you know? They have not moved it. Zach Eflin, 5.5 strikeouts today. I want more than that projection against the White Sox.
All right, yeah, I don't mind that at all. I mean, I was looking as we were going to see if I liked anything here, and I was struggling to find anything. I'll say this, right? There's a guy that I like the ballpark for pitchers, but I just don't like this guy. So I'm going to take Miles Mikolas under 17.5 outs.
I love that.
You can get it at -125 on Bet365, but mine under 17.5 outs. He's only hit over on this line two times this season. He's hit over on this line. He hasn't hit it in three of his starts. Two he has, three he hasn't. When he's been getting in trouble, they yank him really fast too. So under 17.5 outs for Miles Mikolas. Any lines that you like today?
Well, someone in the YouTube chat called out a good one, Stevie, and I really do think it was a good one, and it looks like they've moved it. They are giving us, but I'm going to go to a different game, Stevie. They're giving us the Mets at -118 here. It's the Mets, but I do not believe in Mikolas. So give me the Mets -118.
I already bet it. That's what I had written down. I mean, yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Another one that I wrote down, just in case like you're worried a little bit about like the bullpen for the Mets. You can take Mets -0.5 run for plus money for the first five. So I like that as well. But yeah, I'm on the Mets as well today. Again, I'm just not a believer in Miles Mikolas at all. So I'm with you on the Mets. Will, any final thoughts before we get out of this marathon of a podcast? Appreciate everyone.
Yeah, man. Listen, folks, about an hour and a half. I know we probably went down a couple rabbit holes, so please forgive us, but it was a long pod because of the games, not our shenanigans. We appreciate you. We love you. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, let's have a fantastic weekend. NASCAR heading to Dover for the Monster Mile. I'll have projections and all that stuff up for Saturday and Sunday. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us in YouTube chat. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. Turn on those notifications. Come hang out with us live. We're having a ton of fun with YouTube Live. We appreciate you all. We're going to get out of here. Have a fantastic weekend. We're back Monday talking baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.